The Fan on Demand. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, a show by gamers for gamers. Coming up this week, we've got a whole lot of sports video game news, including who will be on the cover of Madden and a basketball game that really isn't about basketball. We get portable with Mortal Kombat and review an awesomely fun but super frustrating game.
Have you got game? The Lowdown.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brian Calhoun, Christine Muscles Chubb.
Girl.
She's flexing. And Momin Qureshi, that's the voice you're hearing right now. We're back for another week edition of our show, and we're going to start off with two bits of news. First of all, we know who's going to be on the cover of the next edition of Madden, and who is it going to be, Brian Calhoun?
Calvin Johnson.
And who called that?
You did.
That's right, I did.
Don't encourage him.
You were encouraging it the whole time. You're like, oh, yeah, Momin predicted Calvin Johnson, and it's going to happen. And it happened.
Celebrate your victory. Only-
what I simply said was a fact, which I obviously could not get around, but... You know, Christine, you supporting him, it's just going to make that giant head of his grow even bigger of ego. So,
fair
please
enough.
Don't.
Well,
don't.
But imagine what it was if Tebow had it got there.
Oh, man. Oh, you would have to. I mean, my head would have been on this desk because I wouldn't have been able to lift it up. I had to put the microphone on the floor so you guys could hear me right now.
So, this is the best of worst situation.
That's right. So, not only is he going to be on the cover, but they have already shot it.
Yep.
And they shot it in a very cool place. Calhoun, you found the video. They did it in Times Square in front of like thousands of people, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, which imagine being a tourist in that situation, this, you know, or a taxi driver or a bus driver or any number of people who are going through Times Square, and there's Calvin Johnson on this, oh, I don't know, stage about 3 or 4 feet in the air in full NFL gear.
Yeah, wearing his Lions uniform.
Yeah, in front of a white screen, taking quick passes from someone as other people all around him take pictures. That would be an interesting experience just to happen upon.
And if you want to see what it was like, there is a video of it posted on the Got Game blog at sportsnet590.ca. You can check it out yourself. You know who's not going to be on the cover of NHL, the next edition of NHL? Phil Kessel.
And any Maple Leaf at all?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think we're all collectively unshocked by that.
I will say this, though. There are, let's see, P.K. Subban, Carlson, and who is the other guy? Who was the guy from Edmonton? Well, regardless, there's three people from Canadian teams still in the race to be on the cover of the game. So at least now there are still three more teams than are actually in the NHL playoffs.
Well, yeah, well, there's zero left in the NHL playoffs. Because Ottawa's out, yeah!
Don't be so happy about it.
I am thrilled about that.
I know you are.
I know it's a video game show and I shouldn't show my bias, but suckers!
Stop.
Anyway, okay, all right, I'm over it. But yes, there are Phil Kessel will not be on the cover. A new basketball game coming out.
Can we call it that?
Well, here's the thing. It's not NBA Jam. It's not NBA Live. It's not NBA 2K. It's not even Double Dribble.
What was that midway game?
Which one? A Double Dribble? Is that what you're talking about? NES?
There was another one. I know Midway made a basketball game, but it's not coming to me right now.
Okay. And you're right, Calhoun. The reason you said that is it's kind of tough to call this a basketball game. It involves a basketball. It's called NBA Baller Beats. It does have an NBA license, and it's for the Kinect. And I know you guys are all thinking there that, hey, when are they going to make a music game about basketball? Well, here's your answer. It's finally upon us.
I was never wondering that.
Well, the gist of the game is that you basically are, you stand in front of your Xbox and your TV and you have a basketball and a song is played and you've got to dribble the ball to a beat, and the better you do, the more things you'll unlock and the more songs you'll unlock, and
you unlock things like posters and trading cards, at least virtual trading cards and stuff like that, new levels.
And it's got an NBA license, so it's legit. Yeah. And if you want to see the video again, it's posted on the Got Game blog on sportsnet590.ca. How do you feel about that, Christine? It's kind of interesting.
I think it's fun. I mean, first of all, if I had this game in my house, especially because you'll see in the trailer that it's the guy who's playing it actually plays with a basketball, I would damage a lot of furniture because I'm not so great with the basketball. But, you know, sometimes you get excited, it gets away from you, and suddenly it crashes through the coffee table, and that would be bad.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. What are we going to see first, a YouTube video of a parent accidentally hitting their small child because they like sort of lose spatial awareness and not totally sure where the little tyke is, or if someone accidentally like putting a basketball through their $1,000 television. Which one's going to happen first?
It does look fun, though. I mean, I think it's a neat way to learn how to do some basketball skills. And I mean, there's great music, and there's Kanye, Run DMC, Gorillaz, Them Crooked Vultures. I mean, they've really got the gamut.
Busta Rhymes doing the commercial.
Busta Rhymes does the commercial, so they've really got the gamut of good music, like really exciting, energetic kind of basketball fun music.
Does hip hop music go together with basketball, though?
No, not at all.
Not ever.
I was just like, I'm looking over at this list of artists that'll be in here. Like Run DMC, we all know. I would imagine Walk This Way, maybe the one that he goes for that. The Gorillaz, I'm not totally sure exactly what song the Gorillaz are going to put in there.
They had a lot, they had a few big hits.
They had a couple.
A few, like they have a lot of big hits, but I couldn't imagine them sound like Stylo being like the the beat to this.
Well,
I mean,
maybe that's when you want to like mellow and be like mellow when you're bouncing the ball and just taking it easy, and you know, you don't have to be always be. Super pumped up.
Feel Good Inc. or 19-2000 are probably the two Gorillaz songs I'd probably choose from there. From Kanye West, Power. Power has to be the song. Like
Harder, just, Faster, Stronger is for me what I would put in there for Kanye.
I've never considered that to actually be a Kanye song, but we're kind of getting off topic.
We need to get Rudy Blair in studio and ask him, which songs, Rudy, would you put in this game?
Let's discuss.
But there it is, NBA Baller Beats. It's an interesting idea. I don't think you necessarily need to play with a basketball.
No.
Obviously, it's a Kinect, so everything can be virtual. And whatever. I think it's fun. I think it's an interesting idea.
I think it's neat. I think little kids would like it, too, which is you know, always family-friendly for the Kinect.
Do you know what? I'm not entirely sure you can play without the basketball. I'll be interested to see this. Now, they said that they're going to be giving out more information about this and actual like gameplay, because they haven't shown
gameplay yet.
They just showed what you will look like in front of the Kinect, but they promised that they're going to show us more of it at the Electronic Entertainment Expo in a couple of months down in LA, so we will certainly see more of that game then and report on it at that time. So I'd be interested to see exactly if you need basketball or not. And quickly, before we move on, Arch Rivals was actually the Midway basketball game I was thinking about that.
There we go.
I wouldn't pay $70 for this game, though, just for the record.
I wouldn't pay any money for this game.
But
if it's a DLC game and it's like a downloadable only title and they want to charge me $20, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe it will come with a little Nerf ball for the little kids. A little less damaging than an actual basketball.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So we'll keep you posted as to when that will be coming out. If you want the UEFA Euro 2012 for your, and you're a soccer fan, you won't have to buy a full-on edition. Actually, what FIFA has decided, or EA has decided, is that it's going to be an expansion pack for FIFA 12. Instead of having to pay $60 for it, you have to pay $20, and you can do the whole UEFA tournament mode. And
this is the same expansion pack we talked about like a couple months ago when the story first came out, but now that pack's available.
Yep. And it's kind of cool because it features this mode called Expedition, which enables you to build, manage, and compete with a customized team against other European nations, which a lot of games have. You'll be able to choose your favorite European player or FIFA 12 virtual pro to captain a customized team, win matches, or to earn better players from defeated nations. That's pretty cool. And I like the fact that it's DLC and that it's $20 instead of $60, and you can just buy it as an expansion pack.
Yeah. Like I said, when we first talked about this story a couple months ago, Ken Rodney actually reviewed a game like this when he was still on the show, which was just a tournament-specific expansion. And his one problem with the whole thing was that it's a great game, but paying all that money for this very specific title when you actually can go and get the FIFA title still was a little iffy, and he really wasn't happy with that. So a $20 expansion for all the content, the teams, you know, the stadiums, all that sort of stuff, that's a good price.
I'm totally for stuff like this to keep loyalty and keep fans around. And I think this gives you, because obviously with the FIFA game, you have a huge install base already, right? It's one of the most popular video games in the world. They send tens of millions of copies every year. You have a huge install base. There's more likelihood, I think, of people going out and spending $20 on this than $60 on a new version of a new game.
I completely agree.
I think it's a wise move on their part. Speaking of soccer games.
And, well, maybe soccer games with not such a great install base as FIFA?
Yes. Now, I reviewed Pro Evolution Soccer this year, and it's a quality game. It's a very good game. I liked it a lot. It played really well. Unfortunately, it's not FIFA, and that's their biggest issue, is that they can make a game as good as they want, but they're not FIFA. And they, in their own words, according to Konami, are trying to make it better. And they're changing up some stuff, and they're basically putting in three new key areas to make the game better. The first is called Full Control. That means they're trying to put in things like dynamic first touch, full manual shooting, dribbling, full manual 1-2, which, Brian, me and you were talking about just before we started taping, and that says active 1-2 passes can be made with a second player being moved in any direction, facilitating various tactical movements. I felt like that was in the game that I just reviewed this year.
I'm pretty sure that was. I remember when we actually saw previews of it before launch, they were making a big deal about how you can take control of the second guy for a certain amount of time, move him in any direction you want, and then pass the ball to that player and continue on. So I don't know if that's new. This all just sounds like basically they're trying to improve their ball control, which I'm all behind because
Me too.
In the past, it kind of felt a little stiff, and you know, maybe all the animations were a little canned and the flow was a little broken because of that, whereas when you compare it to what FIFA's been doing, so it looks like they're definitely just trying to make a more FIFA-like handling experience.
Yeah, other things are changing. That's under full control. The second is goalkeeping. It sounds like they're kind of trying to do what they did in NHL, where they're giving you a bit more of an active goalkeeper, where you can have a little bit more control of him and move him around. And proactive AI, which includes balance of play and enhanced goalkeepers. Oh, that's already on there, Eric, as well. So,
sorry, no, I probably confused these notes. The second one would be player ID, which is basically is them... It sounds like they're basically going to either motion cap or just spend a lot of time programming specific attributes into certain players, and they broke it down to individual players and then individual goalkeepers who are also players, but whatever, we'll put that aside for a second. So that's what 2 seems like, just sort of better animation and gameplay characteristics for their characters. And the third one is basically proactive AI, which is basically them addressing certain bugs in the game and also trying to improve the intelligence of the in-game AI. So
like
the three areas they're focusing on.
Yeah, I liked PES when it came out, the last one, and it was good.
It's not a bad game.
No, it's good. It's not a bad game. It's a good game.
It's just not FIFA.
That doesn't have the cachet of a FIFA, right? That's the problem.
Yeah, and FIFA is fully licensed.
As opposed
to... Yeah, see, that's the big thing.
PES has licenses from some teams, but they just don't have the complete wall-to-wall that
FIFA
does.
That's what's going to get them every time.
Yep.
And I feel bad for them for that, because like I said, like both you and me have played Pro Evolution Soccer 12. We both like it. We both think it's a good game. It's just that, well, if you live in North America and you want to, say, support Toronto FC, you can't do that in Pro Evolution Soccer. If you want to play as them, you have to pick up FIFA. I think that's what a lot of people have gone through.
It's true. All right, we don't have a lot of time left here. We have a couple of minutes left in this segment. I wanted to get to this. If you're a Call of Duty fan, which I know there are none of out there.
No.
I mean, there's not like millions of people who play Call of Duty. If you want to know when the next one's coming, you got to watch basketball. I know you may think that's weird, but Activision is planning on releasing the details of the next Call of Duty game during the NBA playoffs on TNT, specifically on May the 1st, but TNT is an American television network, so we have no idea when this will be seen on Canadian television, but... We do carry some TNT games up here in Canada on different networks, but I don't know if that means we'll be carrying the commercials that go with them.
That's true, but there's also this crazy thing called the internet, where you can find things after they happen.
I would imagine 2 hours
before.
Or less.
Like, you know what else you can find on the internet? Is the Got Game podcast.
Can you?
If you go to sportsnet590.ca, go to the Got Game blog, it's on there. You can also find it on iTunes, which is also on the internet. You know what else is on the internet? Our Twitter account, GotGame590. You know what else is on the internet? Our email address, GotGame@sportsnet590.ca. You know what else is on the internet?
I don't want to know what else is on the internet. I don't care what
internet,
else is on the internet.
We're going to spend the next three segments going over the various things that you can find on the internet. So stay tuned. It's going to be a rocking good time.
No.
Are you sure, Calhoun? We could run down like all the things that are on the... Well, no, I guess we couldn't really run down all the things.
This is a PG show, sir.
Well, suddenly what would have taken three segments to run down what's on the internet, when you cross out all the X-rated stuff, will take us like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
We got a lot more to talk about in this show, so stick around because we have a couple of games to review. Calhoun, you played... What did you play this week?
Prototype 2.
And Christine, you had some fun banging your head against the wall because Calhoun kept beating you in a game.
Trials Evolution is coming up.
Plus, we're going to go inside the newest edition of Mortal Kombat. That's all coming up next on Got Game on Sportsnet.
Mortal Kombat!
The fan.
We've got game. Do you in the game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, I am Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, complete the triangular formation. We're going to talk a little bit about a new Vita game. Brian, one of the things we're talking about last week is that your Vita's been sitting dormant because there hasn't been that many games out for it, and you're finding that it's...
obviously a console port of a game I played a couple of... What was it? Almost
a super
almost,
fun game. Let's
six
be fair.
Months ago or something like that?
A super fun game.
That's obviously
And if you
help.
Haven't played it on your console, then it's worth playing. We're talking about Mortal Kombat, and the last version that came out was... Wicked fun.
It was.
Wicked violent.
Also a great like instructor for people who really were into fighting games.
Yep.
It took you slowly through the process of relearning how to play a fighting game. It's a process that held your hand a lot, and that was really good for people who hadn't played those sorts of games in a while, like me.
Now, we had a chance about 3 months ago, before the Vita came out, to talk to Ed Boon from NetherRealms, who is the man behind this game. Now, you're going to hear a familiar voice in this interview, and that is the one voice of Mr. Zach Poindexter Cooper, who we know as no longer with the show. He's moved on to bigger and better things in the video game world. We should say that he recorded this interview a long time before he left. This is way before he even knew about the new job. So we, of course, wish him well in his new endeavors. He's doing great. But it's a little blast from the past. So here is Brian Calhoun, Zach Cooper, talking to Ed Boon from NetherRealms. And the first question they asked him is, what was it like bringing this game to the Vita?
The original game for the PlayStation 3 came out in April of last year. And it, you know, it really made a big impact. We sold like 3 million units, and so people really had like an expectation for it. So it's always tough when people are coming with expectations of, you know, this is the experience that I'm used to, this is what I want to have. So we had to keep the frame rate up to 60 frames a second, which a lot of games don't do. You know, fighting games really need that kind of response and all that. But then also for the people who played the game, we need to offer them something new, because you don't want to just have the exact same experience. So the original Mortal Kombat game had a ton of single-player features, you know, big, long story mode, this thing called Challenge Tower with 300 challenges, and as well as, like, you know, the one-on-one fighting and online fighting and all that. So we had all that. We added 150 more Challenge Tower missions.
Because 300 wasn't enough.
Exactly. No. We added touchscreen functionality, so the game's actually more accessible than the PlayStation version, because for a fatality, for instance, you can slash the screen left, left, right, right, and then a fatality comes up. You see the X-ray move.
Now, is it a real-time fatality, or it's the canned animation that we'd normally see? You can't, you know, manufacture a fatality on the fly.
Instead of doing, like, you know, towards down button or something like that, you can just slash those patterns on the screen, which is really cool. And then when you have, like, an X-ray move, you touch the your X-ray meter, and then it comes off. So it's a lot, really integrated the touchscreen into the fighting. There's balancing, and so all of those under 150 extra missions, we have a thing called Tester Slice, which, imagine like a Fruit Ninja type game. Instead of fruits coming up, heads and bodies and all that, you're cutting them all up in half. And then a piece of toast comes up, and it says toasty. You slash the toast, and then all of a sudden you're kind of going into this kind of crazy hyper mode.
You don't need to wait for the 400th level to get there, though, do you?
No, you don't. Okay. So there's two towers, and the second tower, just all these crazy zany missions. You know, you're fighting as Raiden, and your head's constantly inflating, and you have to keep touching it to shrink the head down and then continue fighting. So it's like we're making you multitask, do all these gestures with the screen, and it's like a little bit of a party game experience with the added Challenge Tower. But then the very elaborate, you know, story mode and everything we had in the old version.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, because I know, I mean, Mortal Kombat, the most recent one that came out last year, was obviously very well received. I mean, we gave it some high acclaim as well, very well deserving. How does that experience change? I mean, are you basically porting over the same storyline? Are there different wrinkles? How does that work? Because, I mean, that set the standard, I feel, for as far as fighting games and doing the quote-unquote arcade mode.
Yeah, as far as, like, the big thing, and it's hard to really kind of articulate for when you pick up the system and you turn it on. Anybody who's played Mortal Kombat for the PlayStation 3, you turn it on and instantly you feel, oh, this is the exact experience. It feels exactly the same. It's very fast frame rate, very responsive. And that was like our big thing. We didn't want to sacrifice anything in terms of gameplay or feel, visuals and all that stuff. But at the same time, we didn't want people to say, oh, I've already played this game. That's why we added all the additional content. Everything that was available in terms of downloading the different characters, Scarlet, Rain, Freddy Krueger, all that stuff, Kratos from God of War, all that is included. All the extra classic skins, everything that you were able to download, we included in the version just to make sure that it was like the most content-rich game that we've made.
We're talking Mortal Kombat for Vita with Ed Boon.
And I think everyone will agree that Mortal Kombat's the best when you can play against somebody, you know, you're really good friends with, or maybe somebody you really don't like.
Yeah.
You know, Vita obviously offers a lot of ability to change how you play games. Have you guys changed multiplayer in any ways because of, you know, the hardware that you have now to work with?
Well, we obviously have like what people would kind of expect in a fighting game. It's like ad hoc fighting. Two people with a PlayStation can play against each other, and you can also go online and play fight against people, just like you're able to in the PlayStation 3. So really, that is really the essence of Mortal Kombat, is playing against another human being. And so we have a whole menu system and whatnot in there to let players, you know, get that experience, because that's the most fun. But, you know, the reality of portable games is there's a lot more time spent playing alone, and that's so that was our kind of main motivation to get all that single player content, the 450 challenge tower missions now. And so that was a lot of the motivation in designing a game for a handheld system, is the actual hardware that you have.
We don't get this opportunity often, so I want to go back and sort of dip into the past as well. I mean, you're co-founder of the franchise. I mean, this is your baby. The baby has grown. It's been growing for, you know, a long
years.
Yeah, 20 years. I mean, that's as old as a lot of gamers
out there. Yeah.
What is the one thing, or maybe you've got a few things that you are most proud of what the Mortal Kombat franchise has done as far as trend setting goes in the fighting genre?
To me, it's like, you know, if you were to say, you know, there's any kind of franchise, and you said the ninth iteration, you know, this Mortal Kombat game that came out is the ninth iteration of Mortal Kombat in terms of fight. The fact that it spawned into movies and TV shows and action figures and all that stuff, but the ninth iteration selling really well, selling over 3 million games and counting, you know, is really, to me, is one of the best kind of statements to make about it. It's not, you know, something that's just kind of teetering away. You know, we won a number of awards. We won the awards for best fighting game for most of the most of the publications that give them out, and so we're really pleased that it's still a staple and kind of like, you know, today's thing, having survived through arcade games, all of the consoles, the Nintendos, the Genesis, PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and now Vita. The fact that it's still kind of there is a big thing.
Going back, when you're at the end of a round, are you going fatality, babality, friendship? Where's Ed Boon leaning?
Always fatality.
Yeah.
And who's Ed playing with most of the time?
I play Johnny Cage, Scorpion, and Rain are the main characters that I play.
Rain? Yeah. Why Rain?
You know what? Rain was like a crazy character that I faked in MK3. I put a character in there that didn't exist, but just a glimpse of it, just to drive people crazy. And it became people became so obsessed with it that we made him a character in a later game, you know, and I think it was Mortal Kombat Trilogy or something like that. And, you know, it's just so much fun to see how those characters become little rumors that we make to real characters. Reptile, Rain, Ermac, a lot of those characters were born of, you know, rumors that people would have. And then we were like, okay, it's strong enough now that let's make an actual feature.
I mean, that's listening to the community at its finest. Yeah. And you know, you bring up some Easter eggs. I guess that, you know, that's something that I want to ask you about as well, because, you know, anyone who's played any of these games, there's a lot going on in the background. There's so many things that you can discover if you take the time to notice. What are some of the Easter eggs that have stood out to you as your favorite?
Like you said, that's actually a big part of Mortal Kombat's identity, is the fact that it has all these... We always want a question mark over the game, like, you know, have you seen everything in the game and whatnot? But, like, my favorite Easter eggs have been, like, you know, like Reptile in Mortal Kombat 1, how to find him, all the goofy thing, you know, something, the witch flying in front of the moon, and then you have to do this and do a flawless victory and all these crazy things. And, you know, it's fun to see people talking about it and then seeing somebody saying, you know, oh, you're making it up, and knowing what's true and what's not. That's just such a big part of the fun of the whole Mortal Kombat, you know, experience.
So there's Ed Boon from NetherRealms talking to Zach Cooper and Brian Calhoun. That is probably the last time we'll ever hear Zach on this show.
Yes.
But we'll see. You never know. We'll find out. Well, you never know what that crazy guy
we're
is.
Going, we're going to E3. I would assume he's going to be at
E3. He may be there.
We may run into him there.
Yeah, that's very true. He is like the cat that came back the very next day. We thought he was a goner, but he just wouldn't go away. Brian. StarCraft 2 coming to Toronto. Tell us about it.
In a strange turn of events, the North American Star League, which is one of the number of competition leagues surrounding esports, a handful of them have popped up in the last couple of years, and they've earned at least some sort of credibility because they've been offering like huge cash prizes that range in like the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That kind of money. That's good money.
Yeah.
I've never seen it in my life, but I've heard it's good.
And the last year, they've operated and gone through a couple of seasons. Well, they're working on the third season right now, and we just found out for their website that the grand finals for that third season will be hosted here in Toronto at the International Center on July 14th and 15th. They'll actually be having four tournaments. The first one, and probably the crown jewel of the entire event, will be that StarCraft II Season 3 Grand Finals. The other three events have not been announced yet. I really hope one is a Trackmania 2 Canyon tournament so I can enter, because that's pretty much the only PC game I'm good at right now.
And win the $100,000 and share it with your co-host.
Ooh, vacation maybe.
I will even I'm even willing to go 50-25-25 on that. I'd be the 50, of course.
I'll tell you what, if I win, I'll buy you guys new microphones.
Yay, I want an ice cream.
I'll buy you an ice cream too.
Yay.
But not a fancy one.
No, I want a fancy one.
I was going to say he could pay for a trip to Los Angeles.
I was going to say San Diego Comic-Con is around.
Yeah,
there.
I like that idea better. Well, yeah, Christine with the good ideas. Let's keep
before
going.
Before you guys are done spending all my money that I haven't even earned yet and probably never will, because I doubt there will be a Trackmania 2 Canyon tournament. I just really hope there is. You guys may want to take all that energy and figure out how you can get Nintendo all their money back, because they have lost a lot.
Yeah. They have. Just quickly, Brian, before we get to that, we'll post these details on our blog, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
GotGameBlog, Sportsnet590.ca. We actually don't have too much time to talk about this Nintendo story, so we may pick it up next segment. But Nintendo, we knew things were bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we knew things were this bad. They reported a loss of $534.6 million based on $8 billion of revenue. Now, to put this into context, so they'll lose $500 million, right? Approximately. To put this into context, they had a profit of $906 million last year. So they went from a profit of $900 million to a loss of $500 million. That is almost a swing of $1.5 billion in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
That's
not good.
No.
That is a sinking ship.
That's not good.
That's why your president steps down and other bad things happen to you.
Yeah, and you know, like... If you just think about where they were from when the Wii came out and they were on top of the world, mm-hmm. to now the Wii U's coming out and they're struggling, like the worst kind of struggles.
Well, here's the thing, though. If any of us had lost $1.5 billion, we would see it as like extremely bad thing. And I'm not saying that they don't, but they are extremely optimistic, at least about what the future will hold for them in the next year as they get their next console out later this year.
Hold that thought, Christine. We have to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to keep talking about this. If you've got thoughts, share them with us on Twitter, at GotGame590. This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
You're back listening to Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I am Omen Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the table. Christine, you were mid-thought. We're going to pick it up right now. Just let me reintroduce the story. Nintendo loses more than $500 million in this year. If you add it on to the fact that they made $900 million in profit last year, that means they are down $1.5 billion in 1 year. That's huge.
The amazing thing about Nintendo, too, is that they're always so optimistic still.
About
like
everything.
They can lose, obviously, all of this money and still be like, no, we still think our product is going to be good, despite the fact that, let's face it, the Wii U is not getting the best of press since it was announced. Even, you know, diehard Nintendo fans are saying, you know, maybe name change would be good. Maybe let's make sure you give us more information, more specs, mm-hmm. more price points. It can't be too high. But Nintendo's still smiling and saying, it'll be great.
I think that's so indicative because that's so typical of Mario. Every game the princess gets kidnapped and he's like, I'm going to go get her out.
I'm a finder.
I'm going to go get her.
Well, I was just to say, to your point, Christine, at least the reason they could be optimistic at this point is because the negative comments they're getting are not about, you know, whatever you are working on, it's just not good and no one's going to buy. It's that people have no idea what it is. They don't know what the specs. And Nintendo doesn't talk specs. They never have. They're never going to.
Yeah.
We won't know exactly what makes this thing run until it comes out and someone takes it apart and puts it on the internet. And obviously, like I said before, there's that confusion thing. So if they actually clear up some of that stuff at this year's E3, there may be a reason for them to be happy and optimistic.
This is uncharted territory for Nintendo too, right? Because this is their first loss in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 years, everything's been clear sailing for them. They've been hitting home runs with their consoles, NES, SNES, N64, mm-hmm. Wii, all home runs, putting out amazing things, Game Boys, you know, on through the DS, that whole evolution. So this is the first time they're dealing with very rough waters.
Yeah.
So I think that they don't necessarily know how to do it yet. So they're putting a lot of stock into the Wii U, and you're right. I think that their press conference at E3 this year is going to be a lot of pressure.
And this is a great learning experience for them, because throughout that 30 previous years they'd been dealing with the hardcore gamers. They started with us, you know, back in the 80s when they released the Nintendo Entertainment System and worked from there. And all that time they're focusing on that one market. Now they create the Nintendo Wii and they make this whole new market of casual gamers. Well, those casual gamers lost interest a lot sooner than they thought they were going to be. So now Nintendo has to sort of, if they're going to keep that market, sort of change the way they approach the people they're going to sell games to. And this is a learning experience for them. If they don't want the bomb to fall off of the Wii U like it did with the Wii, they got to, you know, maybe shorter time between the release of consoles or something like that. They got to look at it differently.
Yep.
One of the things, though, I am optimistic about what they're going to be showing at E3, just because I can just, in my mind, with the third party part, with the third party games coming out, I can just picture them showing something absolutely fantastic, like with a Call of Duty, with a Arkham. Assassin's Creed, with Arkham, like just really being able to show, granted with third party titles, how well this machine can work. Because I mean, there were a few times during the press conference last year where we were like, okay, that looks really cool. Mm. And if they can transfer that over into games that we already know and that can give us a really good visualization of how we as actual gamers, not casual gamers, would really want this in our house and would benefit from it, I think it could also blow us
away.
If
there is a criticism, the biggest praise for Nintendo for me is their biggest criticism simultaneously. Their biggest praise is that their signature character games are awesome. Mm-hmm. Link games are awesome. Mario games are awesome. Kirby games are awesome. You know, Metroid games are awesome, which is great. The criticism of Nintendo is, that's all there is.
Yeah.
They keep going back to the well. I know, Brian, you say the same thing. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well. And I think Nintendo users now with the PlayStation and with the Xbox out there, you've got to compete on a higher level. And we need to see a little bit more. And if they can bring those third-party titles in and do it well, that could save them and bring them back up to where they need to be. So we'll see what happens. We will keep an eye on that story. We will, of course, be at E3. We'll be at that Nintendo press conference and be live tweeting and all that stuff from there. It should be a good time. Time to do some reviews, though. Brian, this week you played a game called Prototype, not one, two. How was Prototype 2?
Do you remember Prototype 1?
A little bit.
Well, then you would probably be, at least in my opinion, in the minority, because I don't think a lot of people do. The thing about Prototype 1 was that it came out about 2 weeks or so after Infamous, and both games are extremely similar, and both games were compared to each other.
They were, a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of people were busy playing Infamous because it was the better game,
right,
and it came out sooner, and a lot of good buzz was coming out about that, so people were investing money. So by the time people were ready to play Prototype 1, the original, a lot of the industry had moved on. So a lot of people never really played the first Prototype game, don't even remember the franchise. So Activision's trying to remind people with the release of Prototype 2, which came out last Tuesday. And like the first game, it's a third-person open-world game. In the very first game, I really enjoyed the storyline because you sort of wake up dead, if I can say that. It doesn't really make much sense, but you wake up in a morgue, you're dead, and then you're not dead. You have no memory of what's going on, and you have to pretty much go for the game figuring out what happened to you, why were you dead, what's your role in all this, where are you now, how'd you get there.
Finding out why you were dead is a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to find out.
And that was something I really liked about Prototype 1. Prototype 2, storyline, not as great. You play as Sergeant Heller this time, and Sergeant Heller, he was off fighting a war in Iraq, and the things that were happening in the first game at that time were happening in New York City. And it really screwed up his neighborhood, and Hal is very angry, and he's coming back. He's like, I want revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the storyline. You start the game up, it opens up, it goes into a few twists and turns. It's not a great story, though. I'm really disappointed, because that was one of my favorite parts about the first game.
Right.
Was sort of the storyline, how it took you through everything. Not as great in Prototype 2, but all the mechanics that were in the first game are back in this game. Like I said, open world. You get to move around really quickly by running extremely fast and jumping. Basically, you're Superman. Like from the comic books in the 40s, where you don't really fly, you jump really high and run really fast. So that's pretty much your superpower. You're also invincible pretty much. So I really enjoyed that. A lot of the cool mechanics are back again. This is an interesting one that I never really understood, but I always liked there's a stealth element to both games. Pretty much what you do is absorb other people, their entire bodies, and so absorb them into your body, and that way you gain their memory. But you also gain their identity. So the second you absorb somebody, it kind of becomes a stealth game. You're walking amongst your enemies. disguised as one limb. They have no idea who you are or what you're doing there. And it sort of becomes a stealth game. We have to sort of finish your objective without being noticed by anyone else. So that's a really cool element. And then there's obviously the combat back from the first game. A lot of third-person fighting, a lot of huge, you know, rumbles in the Bronx, if you will, because superpowered, you find other people's superpowers, you can pick up all sorts of items. It's really easy to pick up items. You can, like, run at full pace and just hit a button and pick up a car and just keep going without stopping. You turn around, you throw that at another guy, you know, huge explosions going off everywhere. You get superpowers, you have, like, Wolverine-like claws, you have this giant blade. I guess if I was trying to actually really sort of explain it to you in the way that you would sort of see it as an entertainment, it's like it's an action film. Like, it's like a low on story, high on explosions action film.
That's what this game is. So it's the Expendables in video game form.
If the Expendables had a cast of absolutely no one who you've ever heard of before.
That they do not. They have the complete opposite of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine if the Expendables were made with like complete unknowns.
So three of us.
Yes. Imagine the three of us made the Expendables. And there are lots of explosions okay. and stuff like that.
I would pay to see
that's
that.
That's a
movie.
Billion dollar idea right
that's
there.
That's right there. So, you listen, Spielberg? Already.
I guess, though, you've noticed that I've talked a lot about the very first game when I was describing this one. Partly to sort of just like show you exactly how close they are and sort of reach back to that nostalgia. But it's not because I like the first game a lot more than I like this one. And now the game is perfect. You know, there are a lot of issues with intelligence of the AI. Some of the controls are really janky. A lot of these really rely on you to be super quick and super accurate, but the controls are just not that accurate. That's the problem. I like the first game a lot. This game is more of that, just without that great storyline that was in the first game. The storyline in this one, it's not as good. Overall, it's a 7.5. If you want to spend the $60 on it, go right ahead. Oh, and also get it new because there's a whole bunch of extra DLC that they're giving to you for free for the next like 2 months or so.
That's all
right. So definitely buy it new if you can because you get a whole more content than you would if you bought used. But 7.5 out of 10, it's not a bad game. It's not going to be in the game of year things, but it's a decent enough game. It's an action film. It's a non-thinking action film is what
it is. Prototype 2 gets a 7.5 from Brian Calhoun. Christine Chubb, you and Brian Calhoun had a chance to have some fun and play Trials Evolutions
some of us more than
the
others.
Xbox. We'll get to you and your braggadocious ways in a minute, but Christine, walk us through a bit of this game and how much fun it is, because it's fun.
Just because you were beating everybody doesn't mean I wasn't having fun as well. You can lose and have fun in this game. It wasn't that good. The thing about this game is that it's the predecessor or it's the sequel to Trials HD, which came out in 2009. I said 1990 last episode. I don't know why. My brain must have been fried.
I think you're thinking about the premiere of Full House, maybe.
I think it must have been.
Anyway, go on.
The fun thing about this game is everything. Like, it really is.
What a great description. Everything.
It really was fun. Like, from the second I started playing this game, I had a stupid smile on my face. I was crashing all over the place. I was driving around like an idiot, but I was having so much fun. Like, you can do all kinds. It's basically a motocross game, if you've never played this game before. And they have all these different levels where you can play. You're inside a warehouse at sometimes. You're outside. Like, the courses are really everywhere, and you can kind of explore them. In any way you'd really like, you can go slowly through the course, you can go quickly through the course.
Somewhat, but it's sort of like a two-dimensional side-scroller made with like 3D art assets, and you can't control the turning of your bike left or right.
No,
you can only control
backwards.
the pitch of which you are pointing
at. And
we should
mention that it's physics. It's a physics-based game.
Yes. It's a very physics-based game.
Which why I did not like it as much as you did. Or at least I did not have the same fun, because once you get to some of the later levels in the game,
it's
challenging.
It is an incredibly challenging game. Like, that's the thing, but that's the thing that I liked about it, because I would go through the same course, or even sometimes the same section of the course, like dozens of times, just to try and get it perfectly right, because it's very difficult. You know, you have to really think, how would I be able to get up this hill on this bike? And sometimes you want to throw your hands up in the air and give up, but I liked that frustration about it. And one of the things that I also like too is that even when you're playing single player, if you have friends who have played it, it's a very interactive game. You can see how far they've come, which is why I knew on Sunday that Brian Calhoun had taken over everything, because little Brian Calhoun went flying by. But the cool thing about about that was that I could see how he was racing, to which improved my game. I was like, oh, see, Brian didn't take that hill as high as I would, because I'm always a little fast heavy on the trigger. I'm like, oh, let's go really fast through everything. Not always the best decision.
No, you can really shave a lot of time by hitting the brakes at the very last second when your back tire is the only thing touching the ramp. It slows you down a lot because there's a lot of brakes. Like, the brakes are extremely accurate and heavy in this game.
Yeah. This game, speed's not the name of the game. Distances.
Control is.
Yeah, they're just having the ultimate control. Like, that's the one thing about this game that's really standout is their control system is fantastic. Like, you really have to be aware of it, and they've made it super sensitive, which is what a game like this needs, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for accuracy. They're looking for the ability to get over obstacles in the best possible way.
Sometimes I think they're asking a little too much, though, in those later levels. If you think some of those beginning levels are hard, there are some levels at the very end that just I didn't complete, because I looked at it and was like, I don't really have the interest in spending the next 6 hours sitting here learning exactly the finite amount of movements I would have to use to get myself up this wall, even though it's like it's a 80-degree pitch.
I love games like that are challenging and frustrating, but still fun. All right, so overall, what did you guys think?
Overall, I thought it was a great game. They had a whole bunch of fun little mini games that were a little quirky. Like, cool. You got to there was one, how far can you ride your bike, or how far can you ride your bike without with a small amount of gasoline? How far can you get? There's a skiing one. There's one where you have to jump off your bike mid-flight and bring out these flaps and flap like crazy and get across these.
Are the only ones I'm not leading everyone in. I'm not as good at
it. It was just fun. Like, it's a fun little quirky way. I like that it's very interactive. Even without the multiplayer aspect of it, you can really, the leaderboards are everywhere. It's very competitive. I thought it was all around fun, and I'm going to give it a 9.
Nice. What about you, Brian?
8.5 out of 10. It's a solid all-around experience. It'll cost you about $15, depending on... I was about to say depending on what network you can get on. But I remember there's a big old Microsoft symbol at the front, which means it's published by Microsoft, which you're probably not going to see on the PlayStation Network.
That's
anytime
right.
Soon.
Not unless you got some super secret fancy ways. So, it gets a 9 out of 10. That's Trials Evolutions from Christine Chubb. 8.5 from Brian Calhoun. Brian also gave a 7.5 to Prototype 2. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, does it for this week's edition of Got Game. For Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, and myself, Momin Qureshi, this has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.